We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
It's a live post-game edition of Booth Review presented by Emprise Bank. When was the last time you went into a bank? Now, more than ever, who you're doing business with is more important than where they're located. Emprise Bank is a trusted business partner that can serve anyone, anywhere. Emprise Bank, member FDIC, our partner in possible. And I can't believe what we are about to talk about is possible. Mm-hmm. Kansas Jayhawks are 5-0. They are mm-hmm. one win from a bowl game. Mm-hmm. They are 2-0 in the Big 12. And they just held a college football team to 11 points to win a game. I am joined from the booth mm-hmm. by Scott Chasen. Scott, wow.
What a game. Kent, there is so much happened. This was one of the weirdest games I've ever seen. I don't know where to start. I just got back from post game. Obviously talked to players, heard from Lance Leipold. And yeah, I mean, it's funny. I've been in a lot of press conferences, Ken, just KU press conferences over the years. That one sounded more like a loss than a win because it was, well, this went wrong and this went wrong and you couldn't do this. The offense wasn't working and this was weird and you weren't aggressive on fourth. Oh yeah, Kansas won. Like Kansas found a way to win this game 14-11. And really, I mean, Iowa State got within a field goal, which might have been to Iowa State's detriment that the score was 3-4 because of that weird 2-point play where Romello Dotson kind of looked back over his shoulder, maybe thinking it was a fake or something. Kent, that was a crazy game. And let's shout out the KU defense. This is I won't go too long on this, but the KU defense has shown signs of growth in every game. Against West Virginia, they came out of the second half and got a couple stops. That was huge. Against Houston, KU went on like a 42-7 run. Half that's the offense. But yeah, half of that is the defense too. Against Duke, the defense was pretty good situationally, stepped up huge at the end of the game, at the beginning of the game, when KU turned it over on downs. And this by far the defense's best game. So much to talk about. But Kent, this was a defensive struggle and KU came out on top.
Yeah, and we just got done talking about how the offense has to be B plus the rest of the year for them.
What do we know? What do we know, Kent?
I mean, this was one of the wildest games I've seen in a while. And I mean, the emotion, like there's so, I'm kind of torn between like breaking down the emotions versus breaking down this game. I don't know where all this is going mm-hmm. to go, but this was one of the weirdest games. But, and you kind of said, hey, Lance Leipold kind of sounded, you know, like, you know, a little bit more frustrated, you know, or wanted to critique a lot of the things that went wrong. I want to say something really quick. That's been there this whole season. That's all been this whole season. But when KU was up, when they won by 18 in Houston, it was, ah, shucks, Lance. Lance being Lance, just moving on to the next, you know, he's really hyper-focused on. But like, I think that's just how they're wired. And there was a lot to work with. There was a lot of things that need to be fixed, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. But KU survived a weird game, and it was because of that defense. I think there's a lot of things at play here. I think Brian Borland called his best game as the Kansas defensive coordinator. Yeah, probably. I mean, that the Oklahoma game was pretty good last year, but I would say this is one of the best. We'll get into Brian Borland, but like, I think the players executed really well too.
Yeah.
You saw some really good work up front by that defensive line that gets better and better and better every single week. And I think they made some timely plays in the back end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Ken, I thought up front, Sam Burt may have played the best game of his KU career. When's the last time you saw Sam Burt hanging around in the backfield for a couple of like TFLs? I don't know how many he got credited with. I thought at times Lonnie Phelps was wreaking havoc and getting excited for other guys when he wasn't. Jacoby Bryant had an interception, almost had another one. You know, I was talking to guys after the game just to get a sense of like, what is it about Jacoby Bryant that puts him in all these positions? And they said one of the words Rich Miller told me is just like nonstop energy. Like it's just constant. Luke Grimm told me he tries to jump every route in practice. And it's just like, you can't run an out route, just like, you know, whatever, warming up on a play against him without him trying to jump it. He said, even if it's a double move and he tries to jump it, he feels like he can get back into the play. You know, Ken, Jacoby Bryant got burned on a play that should have been a touchdown, should have been an Iowa State touchdown to Xavier Hutchinson. And the reason why it wasn't because Jacoby Bryant got back into the play, but because Kenny Logan came over and made one of the most important plays, I would argue, of his KU career.
Yep.
And I've said this a lot about Kenny Logan. Pro Football Focus numbers loved him last year. A lot of people did. And he had a great season, but he was doing something that isn't realistic for a safety to be doing. He was playing safety for a team that didn't trust its linebackers, whose linebackers and you know, front seven wasn't making plays or weren't making plays. And so he was like the fireman, like when that guy easily knifes through the first two levels of the defense, now I get to go and make the tackle. And he did that great. He had a bunch of tackles. But I thought coming into this year, he could make more meaningful plays without having better statistics. In fact, with it having much worse statistics, that's an example of one of those plays where he put himself in position to do just enough to break up a touchdown pass. And yeah, I mean, it's just one of many plays that turned out to be huge plays this game.
Yeah. And, you know, I've kind of been like, I don't know if mixed bag is the right word about Kobe, but just,
he is a mixed bag. He's 0 or 100, Kent. That's how he plays.
I think I'm at the point where I don't care about any of the lows. I just think this kid competes and he's timely and he's reliable when his team needs him to be his most reliable. And, you know, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed with that, with the growth of the secondary. It's not always perfect, but I think it's a lot better. I think it's a lot better than it was a year ago. And it's still a pretty young secondary, all things considered, especially the cornerback position. Hey, really quick, if you're watching this, hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button, please. That helps us grow this channel. We are really close to 1,000 likes, subscribers on KCSNU. I think we were like 10 away. I would love to get to 1,000 subscribers to the KCSNU channel before the end of the night. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. I want to profile one thing here, for the Kansas defense. Okay. Iowa State, 30 carries, 26 yards, less than a yard per carry on the ground for Kansas State or for Iowa State. Sorry. They did an outstanding job of making that defense one-dimensional. That was huge. That was massive. And Brian Borland, one of his philosophies is, you know, trying to take away the run, try to be one-dimensional. I think Iowa State actually played perfectly into what Kansas wants to do defensively, because they did a fantastic, outstanding job, defending the run. But I would try to make Hunter Deckers beat me. All right, look, I'm not going to speak for you, Scott, but we had plenty of conversations about Hunter Deckers during the week. And I was very coming into this game, I didn't think he was like a world beater, but about a quarter in, it seemed like glaringly obvious. Like this kid's got talent, but he is going to struggle mightily to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And it was that was the case the entirety of the game. So we said, hey, limit it. Like I say it a lot, but I think this is one of the mantras of this defense. Limit explosive plays and good things are going to happen. I think that applies very well to Hunter Deckers. You make Hunter Deckers drive down the field consistently, it's going to go well for you. You are going to more times than not force a field goal, force a turnover, force a punt. He struggles to be consistent down the field. Mm-hmm. And that played right into Kansas's, you know, defensive strategy too, because they couldn't get anything going on the run and they had to rely on an inconsistent passer to try to drive down the field, and they weren't able to close out drives.
Yeah, Iowa State was 5 of 18 on third down. I think that was the final number. And think about how this game started. I think in the first half, Iowa State, the KU defense got them into like 9 third downs on like 3 drives or something like that. Now, that's not the benchmark. Obviously, you want to get the other team off the field. But Iowa State was not able to move the ball except for that, you know, that one deep shot with kind of a busted coverage. I mean, or just a guy getting behind another guy in a double move. For the most part, Kansas kept things in front of them. And they played to exactly what you just said and what we've talked about. You know, the quote from Brian Borland that you brought up, if they can run on you, they can run on you and they can pass on you. And I think you've already seen it from this year where KU has basically said, yeah, we're going to sell out to stop the run. We're going to do what we do, whether that's keeping an extra linebacker on the field, even if it means they have to, you know, play in coverage. That happened against West Virginia. It obviously came up with Craig Young. But they're saying, hey, you're not going to be able to run and pass. So if you're going to beat us through the air, fine. But we have to stop something. And I think that what you said, it absolutely played well into KU's hand, because Hunter Deckers is not that guy, maybe yet, maybe ever. We'll see. I don't know. But Kent, when I watched this game against Baylor, I saw a quarterback, you know, I sent out a tweet. I don't think Iowa State trusts him. I asked Michael Swain about that. It's a lot of underneath. Actually, you see a comment on the screen was right about that.
It's like dead on.
Underneath, wide receiver screens, those like one read kind of passes. And anytime he had to go to a second look or anytime he had to drop back and pause, you saw panic. You saw uncomfortableness. You saw a KU defense that had like 5 sacks today, including Lonnie Phelps' 5th, should be 6th of the season. he had one against Houston that wasn't credited. They should go back and fix that. Look, the KU defense won its matchups. And I think most impressive, like, they kept doing it over and over. They didn't let their heads hang when the offense kind of kept leaving them out to dry. And I would argue the coaching staff a little bit with some of those fourth down decisions. The KU defense kept standing up. And that was, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? I was waiting for that back-breaking drive where Iowa State just goes down the field and scores. But even if it's just holding them to field goals, okay. If I told you Iowa State made all the field goals they miss, okay, they scored 20 points today. If I told you before the game Iowa State's going to score 20, you'd be like, sweet, KU won easily. So the defense did its job, and then some. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, they were unbelievable. And two things. You mentioned Craig Young. Mm-hmm. I hope people understand how valuable Craig Young is to this defense. He's a unicorn. And you want to talk about being able to stop the run, but being athletic enough to defend the pass. Mm-hmm. That's the Craig Young factor. Oh, and by the way, it's fitting he's wearing 15 because they're Kyron Johnsoning him a little bit too. They'll rush off the mm-hmm. edge. They've found he is just he's a weapon and a piece to this defense that maybe he's not always in on every single play, but his ability to be on the field in a variety of looks and be able to handle a big load is so mm-hmm. important to this defense. And I think it's letting a team. You know, normally you want a team to play left-handed. Hunter Deckers is a left-handed quarterback. But, you know, it's just, you know, playing left-handed a little bit, playing one-handed a little bit. I think that personnel grouping with Craig Young being on the field just kind of lets them be a lot more multiple, a lot more flexible, and withstand a lot of different looks offensively. So he's huge. And then let's talk about Brian Borland real quick.
Yeah.
Brian Borland was – he played it smart. And they gave up a lot of crossers. I understand that. But I think there are two things. Heating Hunter Deckers up works.
Lots of blitzing.
Heating them up works, and they did it. And they did it effectively. They did it with 5 a lot, too. It's impressive. Mm-hmm. Yes, they gave a lot of crossers up. Yes, Iowa State started anticipating crossers a little bit. But I think KU was willing to rally to the crossers a little bit. and force Hunter Deckers to complete the pass because it was an adventure. So, like, I mean, it was. He completed 63% of his passes, but so many of them were so low, like easy throws, easy completions. Like, yeah. I don't know. I was very impressed just with the defensive plan, the defensive scheme. Yeah, I know they missed three field goals. Fine. They make them all fine. You held Iowa State to 20. That's still an outstanding job by Brian Borland in this defense. They did everything that they were supposed to do in this game. And the offensive side really didn't kind of, you know, do what we're kind of used to. So,
yeah. Well, two points on Brian Borland. One, I was talking to a couple of the defensive players after the game. I asked Sam Burt what he just thought about Brian Borland. And the point he made to me was like, Brian Borland sees people kind of just starting to get it and get what they want to do defensively. And Rich Miller made a really similar comment. He's like, he said in fall camp, they knew at some point it would click. And this doesn't mean that Kansas is going to be the best defense in the country or the Big 12 or anything.
I don't know, Sky. I think this is a defensive team now.
It sure may be. The sample, I mean, 25% of their games, the defense, or I guess 20% now, the defense has won it for them.
Exactly.
But he said he was expecting it to click. And Rich Miller said he felt like it finally did. But also one thing that kind of goes under the radar, KU subs a lot, probably more than most teams defensively. You look at the participation reports after the game, and it's like 25 guys log 20 or more snaps on defense. And sometimes it's frustrating, right? You're like, keep the best players on the field. Keep Lonnie Phelps on the field. Keep all these guys, you know, Craig Young, everything, playing all these extra downs. But when Iowa State, one of their really long drives, I don't totally remember which one it was, but I know they didn't get a touchdown on it because it was in the second half. As it was going and KU kept subbing and there was a stoppage, and then they thought Jacoby Bryant got an interception and then he didn't, and then it was a field goal. They kept subbing the whole time. And I made the comment to someone sitting next to me up in the press box. I said, normally you just see it be backbreaking at a certain point. I think Iowa State converted maybe two or three third down, fourth downs, whatever on that drive. Like at a certain point, you just see the defense drop. And then all of a sudden those long completions start. But because of how Brian Borland does it and getting fresh bodies in and changing it up on the defensive line and changing up defensive backs and all these people, like I think it allows KU to stay fresh. It allows them to kind of hang in there. And I think that's why you've seen defensively, I would argue they've been better in the second halves of games as compared to the first half. It seems like they've grown through the game. So I think that's a huge building block too. Like you're seeing a huge number of guys just start to make plays defensively. And that's a credit to them too. But Ken, I have to ask you about the offense. I have to ask you about Jalen Daniels. I have to ask you about KU because, look, the fourth downs were rough. I thought Iowa State played Kansas well, but, man, I think Kansas left a lot out there, especially a couple deep balls that I think Jalen was just a little bit off on.
So I want to separate the fourth down decisions and all that stuff with the offense. Yes, offense missed some stuff. I mean, Jalen Daniels missed a couple passes he's going to want back for some big explosive plays. One to Quentin Skinner. I can't remember who the other one was too, but it was, they had a couple deep shots that he's going to want back. Luke Grimm was the other one. Tried to throw it at the back line. It was an athletic throw, just a little bit off. Just a couple times, just a little bit off. I think you mentioned in the press conference, he said he missed a couple. He thought he missed some stuff there. I think it might have been run and pass because I think there was some give reads that he might have wanted to pull and keep the ball because I think there was a couple. But that's a credit to Iowa State. That defense is legit. And we talked about this going into the game. That defense is legit. They are a very, very good defense. They were a very difficult team to prepare for. That's one of the things that people don't really take into consideration. People talk about, hey, like the triple option is really hard to prepare for in a week. That defense, that front is really hard to prepare for. Really, really hard to prepare for. And I mean, they only ran 46 plays. They ran 46 plays on offense. Jalen Daniels only dropped back 14 times. I know people were freaking out about the early down runs. KU was averaging 4 yards per carry until the last possession. And it was tailing off towards the end for sure. But like, I don't think KU was too far off from continuing to start getting some of those drives down the field. It was disjointed and there was a lack of rhythm, I think, is the big thing that I noticed. It just felt like there was a big lack of rhythm. They're getting behind the sticks at inopportune times, penalties getting them behind the sticks at opportune times, inopportune times. But like, I don't know, like I'm not worried about the offense. It was just a really, really rough performance.
Yeah, I think it was a tough game. And I also thought a couple things like popped up, right? Like there's the play that I know people, you know, people were a little fired up about, like when Jason Bean came in on the third down and then they didn't go for it on the fourth down. The other thing to remember is this is a lot of stuff that KU's been doing all season. I don't know about you, Kent. I feel like I have a really good tendency read on KU. I feel like third and medium, KU runs it 90% of the time, knowing that they're going to set up fourth downs. You know, Lance has normally been aggressive on fourth downs. They use those downs to give themselves a chance at another play to go and get it. You know what? I thought there were a lot of plays that were there that maybe they didn't hit the right guy or see the right guy or the pass wasn't completed or it wasn't the right give read versus a, you know, a keep read, whatever. But I also thought there were some things I was surprised KU went away from. I thought some of the option plays actually worked pretty well that I was surprised they went away from. I thought maybe something with the running backs, maybe when Daniel Hyshaw went down, they didn't necessarily feel the same way about how they could move the ball. But I also thought the drop back passing game, you know, late when they were backed up, they gave Jalen a chance to throw after running it. I don't know how many times in a row. And he got a completion. I think it was to Mason Fairchild, the move the chains. It comes back, you know, due to penalty. I just thought those opportunities were there. But I'll also say this. I responded to someone on Twitter with this too. I'm not a second guess play call guy, because at the end of the day, the same play calling concepts that have allowed Kansas to put up 47 points every week are the same ones that took place today. I think other teams adjust. You have to adjust. You have to figure out what works, what doesn't, especially in the flow of a game. But I came away less like I'm not concerned. I think that you said something similar. I'm not concerned with Jalen Daniels. I'm really not concerned with the KU offense. Honestly, I'm not even that concerned with Lance Leipold on fourth downs, because he kind of took ownership for it after the game. Like, he kind of was like, yeah, I was a little too conservative today. Maybe I could have done a better job and been a little bit more prepared to go with that. So I guess my concern level is low. It's just a weird place to be in, to come off a game like that and be like, that was kind of rough out there, but KU did find a way to win.
Real quick, please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button. We are right at 1,000 subscribers on KCSNU. Mm-hmm. We're 5 away. So if you hit the subscribe button, you're helping us grow this channel. You're helping us get to 1,000 subscribers, which is big. The like button helps as well. And the comment helps as well while we're watching this show. It all helps this channel grow. Please feel free to do that. I do want to talk.
How many away did you say?
I'm looking right now. We're 5 away.
Okay, so the same number of games that Kansas has won in a row.
I was going to say one for every Kansas win, right? Yeah. Like, all right, we've talked a little bit about the offense. I think it's time to talk about some of the decision-making, though. Can I defend Lance Leipold a little bit here?
Oh, no. I'm okay with most of the decisions. To me, the 4th and 3 at the 45 is inexcusable. You can't punt that football.
All right, so I had a problem. I don't think Lance Leipold is a non-aggressive coward the way I have seen him portrayed on Twitter. And it's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
I know people are very emotional and excited about the fact that Kansas has a real football team, and it's incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't think Lance Leipold is a coward in the slightest. I think he is very good at communicating with his team and with his offensive staff, because he's mentioned it in the last couple weeks. Hey, me and Andy are in communication about fourth down, about, you know, hey, if it's 3rd and 6 and hey, we're going for it here on 4th and 3. He is very good and very aggressive, I think, largely with the fourth down decision making. I had the one I had the biggest problem with in this game was the field goal.
Yeah.
The field goal was tough. And the field goal was the one that, like, that was the one that kind of bothered me the most. But again, it's probably, hey, we're game planning here. 50, I would guess 50 might be the line for Brochilla. Like, literally the line. Like, if it's 4th and 5 from the 40, or, you know, from the whatever it is to
33.
The 33, it might have been a fourth down call, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just, like, that was the one I had the most issue with. I don't think, I mean, it was a little bit more on the conservative side. I don't disagree with that. And the one thing that the byproduct, I think, of the decisions, like, I don't think that they were egregious decisions. They were all iffy calls. And in the iffiest situations, I think he maybe played a little bit on the conservative side. I think that might have taken the offense a little bit out of the rhythm. Like, that's where some of, like, I think they might have been able to string together a drive with one of those fourth down decisions. And that's where I get a little bit that you know, mm-hmm. I can see the side of it too. But the only one I really had a ton of issues with was the field goal.
The only reason the 4th-and-3 bugged me was because they ran on 3rd-and-6. It was 3rd-and-6 and then 4th-and-3. And Lance even said after the game that they were prepared to go for it on 4th, 1, 2, 3, not so much on 6, 7, 8. So I think that's one when he looks back on, he'll think he probably should have gone for it. But I will say this, in defense of Lance Leipold and 4th downs. First of all, Lance is an old football coach who used to really not like going for it on 4th downs. And then a few years ago, took in some more of the numbers and the analytics and became a lot more open to it. And you've seen that at KU. He's been a lot more open. Even last year, he was incredibly aggressive last year and earlier this season. Now, what I think people are conflating is KU had a couple of high-profile 4th downs this year that they did not go for. I think both times up 8 at the end of games, at the end of the Duke game and at the end of the West Virginia game. And so I think people remember those, and then they look at this game and they say, Lance doesn't go for it on 4th downs. But I would say like 80% of the time this year when it's been like a 50-50 call that Lance has gone out of his way to go for those 4th downs. And I think he's made it a point to try and play a little bit more aggressive with this offense. So I think that's a credit to him. I will say also in defense of him, the worst 4th down decision in this game did not come from the KU sideline. It came from the Iowa State staff at the end of this game. And I think that's a decision that would bother me a lot more, that if KU looked at it a 4th-and-1 in that situation, when you have the chance to go play for the win and avoid overtime, avoid KU having that last drive on the other team, I think those ones bother me more. But yeah, I don't come away from this game thinking Lance Leipold doesn't know how to make a decision on a 4th down. In fact, what I really came away from this game thinking was KU left a lot of points out there on the board, and there were some of those opportunities to maybe kind of force the issue more. But I think Lance also looked at this game and thought it was more of a low-scoring game, and on his feel decided to be a little bit more conservative. But I don't think that's a base for him. I don't think he's afraid to be aggressive.
Not at all. I have not had a ton of issues with some of the decision-making in it over the course. Like, these weren't clear-cut all the time either. Like, these were definitely like some more 50-50 kind of decisions. I don't think they were egregious ones. They were ones that you kind of have to, you got to navigate a little bit. The offense, I would have liked to see them, I think one of the 4th-and-5s you talked about, yeah, it would have been nice to see if the offense could continue. So I think the momentum of the offense was actually, the rhythm of the offense was actually kind of there, and it started to slow down pretty bad after that. I mean, it really did kind of, the offense just, it struggled mightily throughout the day. They tried to run some of the wide zone stuff this week. Didn't really work. And that's one of the things I was a little bit worried about, is like the way Iowa State plays is they kind of force you to run to the edge. They try to make you run to the edge if you can't get downhill, KU had some success getting downhill at times, you know, but you know, it wasn't too bad for me personally. They'll get there. They'll get there.
They got a fun game coming up next week too. Ken, 5-0 though. Can we take a second? We got to take a second to talk 5-0.
Please. Right?
I don't even necessarily have anything beyond, they've got 7 shots at a bowl game.
Like, yes.
They are looking down the barrel. And look, I know people may or may not actually go back to 2009. They started 5-0 then. They didn't finish the season well. Now, injuries played, especially with Todd Reesing, played a lot to do with that. They played hurt. They played banged up. It was a tough, you know, kind of stretch of games down the season. But look, this team, which first of all brings a lot of people back for next year, that makes that even more exciting.
Eyeball emoji.
This team's 5-0. This team has survived every test, has won games different ways. And again, I would argue the defense, this isn't the first time we've seen signs of life from the defense. Like, if you want to just like stat sheet watch and be like, wow, they gave up 600 yards and a billion touchdowns, yes, then KU's defense is bad. Sure. Situationally, they have had to make plays in every single win Kansas has had since the opener, and they have done it more and more every week. So for this team now to be 5-0, to be looking at 7 opportunities, to be 2-0 in Big 12 play with 7 huge opportunities in a conference that I think we think top to bottom is really, really even, given that Oklahoma has lost twice. Kansas State has some big wins. Texas lost to Texas Tech. This is a very even conference. And for Kansas, like, 6-6 is the first goal, right? You got to get that 6th win.
You got to get 6. You just made it extremely easy to get to 6. Like, they're going to pull one of these next 7 out.
Absolutely. But this allows you to dream even bigger, I think. Like,
absolutely.
I'm not saying this team has to go 9-3 and be in the Big 12 title game, whatever. I'm just saying this one lets you dream bigger. This one lets you think about, yeah, hey, Kansas is 5-0, and Kansas has beat some really solid football teams and has a couple of Power 5 road wins, Kansas is going to be ranked. Game day might come here next week. That might be old takes exposed by the end of the night. I don't know when they decide these things. But this just allows you to dream bigger and really – I don't even know what to do with this, Kent. 5-0 is insane.
I'll be a little spicy here at the end of this Kansas football postgame show. I think Kansas should be ranked higher than K-State this week. I think there's a little – they were right up against each other. People got hot in the moment for the Oklahoma win that really doesn't look all that impressive anymore, and Kansas doesn't have a loss on their name to Tulane. If we want to talk about the Tulane versus Houston game last night, and this isn't the best argument, but those teams were very evenly matched, and Kansas bopped one of them at home, and the other one, K-State, lost at home to the other one. So I'm just, you know, I think the resume looks better for Kansas at this point. I think, yes, they were a week late in the polls, but KU's resume is better than K-State's now. I don't know if K-State's going to, I think K-State's the better team, if I'm being completely candid, but I think Kansas' resume deserves to be ahead of K-State's right now, inarguably. So I hope the polls make a correction for their grave mistake last week and put Kansas firmly in the top 25, along with TCU.
Yeah. Can I make one last point before I got to get out of here and before they pull me from whatever booth I've found my way into in the booth? Kansas, I thought there were a lot of distractions for Kansas to deal with the last 2 weeks.
More than there was way more distractions than I thought there was going to be this week, by the way. Please continue. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was just stunned by it. I thought it was going to be a little bit more tame.
When we talked on Tuesday, I felt the same way. And then every person in the any person who's ever said the word Kansas, I mean, I think Arkansas was getting interview requests just because they saw Kansas as the last like six letters of it. And they were like, oh, these guys must be Jayhawks. No, well, I mean,
close enough.
Yes. They're like, yeah, I know. You know, Bobby Petrino, what did you think about that? Anyway, that Kansas had a lot of distractions. Kansas had so much going on. Like outside the program, quarterback Jalen Daniels doing a million interviews, Lance Leipold doing a million things, players in the program involved with this. They're going to sell out this whole thing downtown. And that stuff isn't bad, right? Excitement around your program is good. And I don't want to make it like it is bad, but it adds another layer of like mentally where you have to be to go out and execute and play in a game when so much stuff is happening. You know how much people care. You know, I ran into Jalen Daniels' family on the way into the stadium today. Not literally. I just like said hello. They were all wearing their Jalen Daniels jerseys, but they were so like chill and low key and calm. And I asked them a couple questions about Jalen, and they were so like they were so grounded. And I think that's what you've seen a lot from a lot of this KU team. I think that comes from the coaching staff. I think some of the players are there, but I also think some of them were pretty juiced up by this and pretty excited. And for them to control that collectively, the team to kind of control the emotions, to not get down and out. I just think that speaks a lot to where this team is mentally, their focus, their mentality, even while mistakes were made offensively, to not hang their heads, to not make the backbreaking mistake, to not let offensive stagnation turn into a horrible pick six, to not let the offense punting the ball a billion times turn into a defense getting gashed. I think that speaks to where KU is mentally, and I think that's huge.
I said before, like right before the end of that game, it was something like, you know, like the steps that this program has taken in such a short amount of time, it's remarkable what this team has been able to do in a short amount of time. But a game like Iowa State, closing out a game like Iowa State like that, was kind of another big step that kind of lets, like I think that you said it lets you dream, Scott. Like, that is exactly right. It lets you dream a little bit because you slogged a game out when you didn't play your best, you dealt with a lot of adversity, and you still found a way to pull it out in a big game against a good football team. That's a good football team with a really good, difficult defense that's going to get a lot of people problems this year. Yeah. So I am really excited that this team's still 5-0. It's a big deal. It's a really, really big deal.
Another sellout coming, I think, next week, by the way. Oh, I would expect three straight.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Lee Corso in Lawrence, Kansas next week. Scott will be at the booth. I might wind up at the booth. I don't know at this point. probably have to go at this. I mean, at this point, that's going to be a really fun game. There will be the 14-11 might be the first half score or first quarter score. I mean,
first two possessions of the game, it'll be 14-11. We'll be wondering how.
So yeah, both teams, like, it's going to be insane. Thank you to everybody that's been watching. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Happy to say during this show, we hit 1,000 subscribers. If we don't stop the show, I could keep going because I have a lot of thoughts. We'll be back on Tuesday. So hit the subscribe button. We'll get all kinds of analysis on Tuesday. Scott's literally going to get kicked out of the booth if we don't end this show, though. So we got to get out of here. This has been Booth Review. Thank you to everybody that's watched. Kansas beats Iowa State 14-11 to advance to 5-0. Rank them!